Well, we're going to go in this morning teaching again, talking about being led by the Spirit of God. And this teaching has been really different than what I have taught in times past about it. The Holy Spirit has been dealing with some certain things that about being led by the Spirit. Number one, we started off with the fact concerning the Holy Spirit. We have some scriptures and we want to use them as a foundation from Romans, the 10th, Romans 8 and verses 14 through 16 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God." That's verse 14. And verse 16 says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And in Proverbs 20:27 says this, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of the heart." And so God enlightens us or deals with us through our spirit. And in doing so, we talked about things over this time about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, we talked about, was the Spirit of truth. In John 15:26, Jesus said these things. Jesus said, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth whom proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." He's called the Spirit of truth. We're going to be led by the Spirit. You need to understand this. You need to know the characteristics of the Holy Spirit to be led by him. Not just how he leads from the standpoint, we're going to talk about something today, but what you have to know is what he's like. The Holy Spirit is going to always lead you in line with the truth. Now, Jesus said this about what the truth is. In John 17:17, we talked about this before. I'm just going to go through these scriptures. You can go back over and listen to the teachings. He said, "Sanctify them by your truth." He said, "Your word is truth." So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Word of God. That's what he is. The Holy Spirit leading and guiding you is always going to lead you and guide you in line with the Word of God. This is one of the things. See, how would you know that Scripture says that there's many voices and none without significance? Well, how do you know what voice is talking to you? How do you know what voice is trying to lead you? You have to know the Spirit. Well, if you don't know the Word of God, and we need to understand this, the Holy Spirit's going to always lead you in that manner. In John 16, verses 13 through 15, Jesus made this statement. He said, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all the truth." It didn't say he'll show you some truth. Understand this about truth. You can know as much truth as you desire. God doesn't measure the amount of truth you get. You do that. You measure how much truth you get. The Spirit of the truth has already been told to us that he will guide us into all the truth if we want to know it. That's determined by us. The majority of the church world really believes wrong concerning the Word of God. They believe God is controlling all this stuff, that God decides. You know, God decides about you and how far your faith goes and how far you can reach. Like people say, you know, God wants some people to be wealthy and some people he don't want to be wealthy. Well, I can't find any scripture that says that. But see, that's man's belief. And so man sets these goals and he sets himself limitations. He puts roadblocks up in his life and goes around and lies to people and tell them God did it. They put roadblocks up and say, "Well, I can only go this far. This is how far I can go. This is me," you know. Many people set it up to how far you can go. You need to understand this. Revelation from God is not determined at all by your mental abilities. Your mental abilities and how the mental gymnastics you might be able to do have nothing to do. Revelation comes from God by the Holy Spirit. It isn't thought out. It's revealed. So somebody might consider less intelligent than somebody else has nothing to do with how much revelation you can have from God. Because you don't think it up anyhow. But see, most people do. Most people's, what they call revelation from God is how they think the Word operates. They don't get revelation from God. And that's why you're not limited. I'm so thankful. I'm so glad I have never been limited by my intelligence. I've never been limited by my intelligence. I don't have to measure my intelligence of how far I can go with God. Thank God. Hallelujah. The smart guys, see, we have today, education, even in the church world, just means so much. I mean, Kenneth Hagin couldn't even get a job in his own ministry today. You have to have a college degree to be in their ministry. He couldn't even get into ministry today. And I'll tell you what, they've sure ruined the ministry putting all these college people in them. We could have used somebody that had some revelation. See, we got this nutty stuff going on out here today, and it's the world. But number one, many Christians set themselves with that. You know, people say, well, you don't understand, I have a learning disability. Oh, yeah, well, when did you mark yourself with that? When did you decide you were going to have one? When did you decide to put that on your mouth? This is why we have so much problem in America today, because America talks, in the church, talks just like the world and says the things the world has. See, it's one thing as I learned as a young Christian, I heard Kenneth Hagin talk about, when he got saved, he said, when I was in school, he said I was a straight, that, and when he was in school, D was the lowest you could get. They didn't have F, they just had A, B, C, D. And he was on the bottom, and so he said I would have been considered a straight F student. He said I got born again, became a straight A student. He said because the life of God in me enlightened me. And when I heard that, I thought, my God, I'm going to be a genius. Why? Because if you're limited by your mental abilities, you're very limited. You're very limited. See, my spirit was created in the likeness and image of God. The Bible talks about the mind of the spirit and the mind of the flesh. Most people, Christians, will live and die and live in the mind of the flesh. They won't live in the mind of their spirit, what's on the inside. In the inside, I'm a genius. I'm a genius. Look, I got a genius living in me. I should be pretty smart. The Holy Spirit of God's living in me. And to walk around and tell, well, I just have trouble learning. Who decided that? Who decided that one? God didn't. It's not in Scripture. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. You think Jesus has trouble figuring things out? You think he's sitting up in heaven going, get some of the angels. I can't quite get to what to do here. I just don't know. It says we have the mind of Christ. Didn't say you're going to get it. It says you got it. When I found out I had the mind of Christ, I was excited. Because I needed a mind. I don't know about you. I needed one. Hallelujah, and I got a good one. Glory to God. I got one that will never fail me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, see, getting over into these things, we need to know this is we're going to follow God. God, the Holy Spirit, and He's always going to lead us, the Holy Spirit, into truth. What's true? Hallelujah. It says He doesn't speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He speaks. He'll tell you things to come. Isn't that, you and I can know things about our future. What we can know about planning ahead and what's ahead and what to do. It's exciting. To me, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to know. You know, when this thing happened to me here concerning, you know, end up in the hospital with a blood clot in my lung. Here, the Holy Spirit, a month ahead of time, moved me over and started me getting in the Word concerning healing and told me to start specifically meditating in Scriptures. Why? You see, He was preparing me for what was to come. See, you bypass things and you get over into what you think's important. When the future comes, you may not be ready for it. See, most people are preparing for their future based on what they see. They listen to people how to prepare, you know, the money you're supposed to have and all this kind of. They're doing all that stuff in preparation of what people say that you have to have need. And many people will be dead and they'll never enjoy any of it because they didn't prepare for the right things. And the devil's going to kill them. And the devil, some people, is going to steal everything that they got and all the money they put away to do all the stuff to live a good life and ain't going to be there because their health is going to get destroyed and they're going to spend all their money trying to be well. Folks, this is good preaching. Talking about being led by the Holy Ghost. See, many people, they don't spend the time to be led by the Holy Spirit. They're not listening to the Holy Spirit. They have their agenda. What's going on? People are saying out here that you need to do. You better be listening to the Holy Ghost. And especially in this day and time, the thief is definitely killing and stealing and destroying. He's definitely in the business and he's getting away with a lot of it. He's getting away with tons of it, which he should not be getting away with it. Hallelujah. So, you know, I came along and he had prepared me. So when the things happened, I didn't have a problem. I didn't have a problem because I had already been prepared for what I was facing. I was ready for it. I couldn't go. The bank couldn't buy me out of it. Health insurance can't buy you out of it. What I needed was a deliverance from God, and I got one. A total deliverance, and they were just amazed. They didn't know what to think of that. Hallelujah. You know, a certain percentage of people die when they have a blood clot, die instantly, but then there's a larger percentage die a period of time afterwards. A larger percentage. And what they couldn't figure out was this, is because I come in with a blood clot, and within hours, I'm just doing great. And they're like, you feel all right? You're okay? They didn't know what to think about that. See, something miraculous happened. They didn't know what to think about it because this is not the norm. This ain't the norm that happens in the hospital. This isn't normal. You shouldn't be in the good shape you're in. They moved me to the room, and they sent a cardiologist in, and he come in and he said, you're really healthy. That's what he said, first thing he said to me. You're really healthy. I didn't say anything to him, but I thought, yeah, I've been confessing that. But he noticed. You're really healthy. it's one of the things, it's a matter of dealing with things with preparation. And we need to understand this. We're going to talk about this because God wants to move us into a higher level of walk. See, there's things that we want more of. You need to get a hold of this. We want a move of God. God is not holding back anything concerning a move. He's not holding nothing back. It's very much like whether it's a battery or whatever it is, something that holds a charge. It can only hold so much of a charge. You know, you get a 12-volt battery and they're designed, they're different ones can hold so much amount of current you can pump into that thing, and ones of them are different. You don't want to be trying to put more in something than it can handle. You know what happens? They blow up. And man, that's a problem. And what happens is this, many people want power, but they don't have the capacity to handle it. God can't give it to them. They don't have the capacity for it. You need to understand that. You just don't up and handle. You need to understand your inner man, your spirit must be developed. The Bible teaches us that. Your inner man. Why would it be the point of, if a guy with a little bit of faith could end up as much power as a guy got a whole bunch of faith, what would be the point of, and we need to understand this. God's developing us to a place where we have a capacity for power. We're asking for it, and He's doing exactly what we want. If you don't want any power, be fine. You know, if you don't want it, then you don't have to follow along with these teachings. You don't need to do it. But if you want more power, you're going to have the capacity to handle power. You're going to have it. You've got to come to the place where you can handle what God wants to give you. And so we need to understand this. The church world has the idea, well, if God wants you to have something, He'll give it to you. None of it's true. None of it's biblical. People just throw it out there. And over time, we bought it. We were just like a bunch of little birdies. Anything somebody stuffed in our mouth, we ate it and went around and told people. We went around and said it. And we don't realize over the years, even when we came along and learned that some of this stuff wasn't true, we never really threw it out. And we kept that in our spirits. And it's always limited us. We've kept it in there. We've set little limitations along the way. And those things have to get removed. The Holy Spirit, what He wants to do, He wants to take everything that Jesus has had. He wants to reveal it to you. He wants to take you to the next level. The Holy Spirit is never holding back. The only way the Holy Spirit gets held back is if you hold Him back. If you don't allow Him to do, if you don't follow along with what He wants to do. Number one, the Holy Spirit is not going to do what you want. He is authorized to do what Jesus wants. And if you don't want to walk where Jesus does, you and the Holy Spirit are going to have trouble. The Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus and shows it to us. He is authorized to do that. He's not authorized to do what you want. He's authorized to do what the Word of God says. He is always follows the Word. He always follows Jesus. So therefore, to me, if I'm going to have the Holy Spirit be able to help me as much as He would like to, therefore I must come in line with the Word of God. I have to. Because He's always going to lead in line of the truth. He's never going to lead in the line of my need or desire. My need or desire, if what I'm working at, I'm not in line with the Word. It ain't happening. He ain't bringing it to pass. He brings things to pass based upon the Word of God following it. We need to understand that. That's why I say people come along and stand it for 20 years saying, I'm believing for healing and nothing ever changes. Well, You need to come someplace between that space between your ears and figure this thing out. Something ain't working. If what you're doing and it ain't changing and you just keep it having more problems, this is what's wrong. You're a problem. Now see, that sounds harsh. I know the truth sounds harsh when you've lied to yourself all this time and telling people you're okay when you're not. It sounds harsh. When I figured out I was the problem, it made things changing a whole lot easier. I'm the problem, okay? I got the problem. Me, Ed's the problem. Now, Ed needs to change something. What do I need to know? What is it that I don't know that I think I do? Now, I need the Holy Ghost to teach me. I need to know, where am I missing it here? Where is it going wrong? Why isn't it working? Why isn't something happening? See, I've learned that over the years. Like I said, when I started off as a Christian, one of my favorite books was that little book from Kenneth Hagin. And it was, Don't Blame God. Buy that book. Go get it. I ain't buying it for you. I quit that. Buying people books, they don't read them, do nothing with them anyhow. I had to go buy myself. Nobody ran around and got them for me. That's why it's done so much for me, because I'm the guy that invested it in it. It'll always do more for the investor than it will the watcher. Hallelujah! It will! Hallelujah! Glory to God! And you invest in things, and I invested in it. I remember that little book, Don't Blame God. And when I had found out that my problems weren't God, it was Ed. Oh, hallelujah. Then deliverance comes. Then deliverance comes. I can always tell you over the years, somebody comes and says, I don't understand why God. And as soon as they say why God, see, I know where they're coming from right away. See, I couldn't be missing it. Why won't God do this? Or why? What's wrong with God? Where did God in that? You know, I'm Mr. Wonderful. I'm Mr. Perfect. I know everything. The universe circles about around me. And oh man, I'll tell you what. You come to the fact, say, no, you're not. He's God. You ain't. If it isn't working, He's never holding back. Do we have the Holy Spirit holds back? Did Jesus say He's going to come? No. Man, He's going to even tell you the future. The Holy Ghost is going to reveal the future to you. Dear Lord, does it sound like He's holding anything back? It isn't just the wisdom you need now. It's the wisdom you need tomorrow. It's the wisdom for the next day. Glory. Is there anything better? And this guy lives in you. And the last time I checked, he was called God. Glory to God. God living in you. And people are struggling to be led by the Spirit of God. And God's living in them, and they say we can't get in contact with Him. Is God so powerless that we can't run into Him and He's living in us? See, all this is, you're thinking, this is people say, people walk around and say, well, it's not easy to be led by the Spirit. Whoever said that? Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice. Anybody, if you've ever said anything different than that, you're a liar. Now that sounds hard, but you need to face it. You've been a liar. It is not hard to be led by the Spirit. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. It is not hard to be led by the Spirit. It's hard to listen to dumb preaching and dumb Christians saying dumb stuff. That's what's hard. You have to listen to it. Don't be talking. You're never going to grow up saying them dumb things. My sheep hear my voice. Glory to God. That's the last thing I need to hear on the subject. Nobody else counts. Jesus said it. You're wrong. That's it. You got to come to that place. That's called believing. People think that's hard. That's what believing is. Believing isn't five different points of view. It's just that simple. I believe it's true. Jesus said, I hear His voice, so I must hear it. Hallelujah, I must hear it. And people say, well, I don't know if I must hear it. How come I ain't hearing it? Because you keep saying you're a knucklehead, you can't hear it. You're having exactly what you said. You don't agree with Jesus, and then you wonder why it don't work. Duh. Hallelujah. Jesus is right. Everybody else on the subject that says something different is wrong. Hallelujah. God went as far as put the Holy Ghost in you. It would have been enough just you and I getting born again. We talked about that. Just the new birth. We talked about the new birth. You got the new birth. You're born. You have the nature of God. That should have been enough. But not for God. God said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dump the Holy Ghost on him. I'm going to put God right inside this bunch. I made him after my nature, my kind. Now I'm going to stick the Holy Ghost in these people. And people sit around, well, it's hard to follow God, you know. I'll tell you what. It isn't easy being a Christian. No, it isn't easy being stupid, saying dumb things. That's what ain't easy. See, the church got to... See, you know, it's one thing the Lord has taught me this week is why we have so much trouble in the church world. All I've ever heard since the time that I was in the youth ministry was youth ministers and pastors said, it's really so hard for youth today. Well, you confessed it, it's hard, and now it's hard on you. You've preached to your young people, they can't follow God, it's too hard. No, they can't follow God because they're taught you're going to sin and go ahead and do it. And then they'll help you do it. They'll have your little rock and roll, you know, called church for you and that stuff. So your flesh gets satisfied, talking about it's hard for them to follow. Well, they're going to follow the flesh. You give them the flesh, you give them a rock and roll, give them lights and all their stuff in there to make their flesh happy. And then turn around and say, follow the Spirit. Yeah, that one's going to work. I want you to understand this. If I can't do that, they can't do it to follow God either. Man, this is good preaching. See, we're wondering why things don't work. It ain't hard to follow God. It ain't no harder today than it's ever been. We have nothing to complain about. Look back. Let's go back in the Old Testament where people followed God. They weren't even born again and did better than the church does today. And they weren't even born again. What's wrong with us today is all the lies from the pulpit and all the lies that the people sit in the church believe. And they say, oh, we believe the Bible's the Word of God. Yeah. We need to begin to change. We need to begin to change. God wants to take you to a higher level. God wants to get you out of the sewer of the church that you're in today. A lot of the church world's a sewer. And you know what? People don't notice that it is because there's enough truth in this sewer that people look and say, oh, well, yeah, it does. And they don't realize all the underlying sewage that's under there, the stench that's under there that's been mixed in. And they've been drinking it. They've been drinking out of these cisterns. There's a purity to come to, folks. Without holiness, no one's going to see the Lord. Man, I'm going to tell you, America's going to have about 12 people leaving. They don't watch it. No, we're going, folks. Hallelujah. But I'm just telling you, see, if holiness, and see, we don't, there's scriptures, see, you don't throw them out today. You don't use them. No, you don't use them scriptures. They're not the ones you use. Without holiness, you won't see the Lord. No, just faith, you're going. It don't matter. You say you believe, you're going to be out of here with Jesus. Yeah, good luck. Hallelujah. It says, without holiness, glory to God. The Lord dealt with me some, has been dealing with me, saying, he talked to me about walking in a holiness that I used to walk in that I don't walk in today. And I said, well, we're changing that. You know, there was a holiness back in the 1980s when I came into the church that is not in the church today. There's people do a lot of things today that they would have never done back then. They would have never walked in and done. Things they would have never listened to. Things they'd have never been a part of. Today they're just a part of and they don't think nothing of it. They'd have never been back that time. Why? There was a holiness to the Lord that is not around today. See, and there was this stupid thing going on back there. It was called power. And today, we want the power without the holiness. Holiness don't come, there won't be no power. God's not holding back. The power's waiting to go into somebody who can have it. Woo-wee! Hallelujah. You shouldn't have prayed for the anointing this morning. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost, he will glorify me. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Hallelujah. That's our Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He's a teacher. And this Holy Spirit, we want to talk about this morning. One of the things, and I want you to understand this, I want to say this going in so you know that there's not a contradiction. Kenneth Hagin has a book on how to be led by the Spirit. It was one that he did a teaching years ago. He also, I don't know today how the series on CDs or whatever, MP3s, whether they have them, whatever, how extensive they were. I know the old ones were really good. But they've redone some of them and that stuff. They've removed certain things out of sometimes of teachings that he taught that I thought was just down much, much, much better things. He said things that they don't want said today. Because It's not conducive to people sending bigger checks. I'm telling you, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. You say certain things that makes people uncomfortable. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. You know, I just decided I don't want to be comfortable with me. I want to be comfortable with God. I want to be comfortable. I don't want to stay away from God because I'm uncomfortable in His presence. I don't only have to just go so far in with Him. I want to get to the point and say, Lord, I want to be able to come and be happy being around You. I don't want to come to the place that change bothers me, that, Lord, whatever Ed needs to change, let's get this thing worked on. Let's get at this thing. We need to go somewhere with this. See, I want to come to the place where, you know, and you got to come to the place and realize God's interested in what is really your best interest. As coming to that place, He's not asking us to change. He's not trying to take anything from you. He's working desperately to give you things that are much glorious than what you have your grubby little hands holding on to that you think is so cool. I'm serious. I'm telling you the truth. There's things that God wants to do for us. And, you know, I have to get over and say, well, Lord, what do I need to release? And I found out what it is. Everything. See, if He's going to be Lord, I can't cling to none of it. Because if I do, He ain't Lord over certain things. So, if I allow Him to be Lord over it, and this is what I found is what happens. When you allow Him to be Lord, that things don't dominate you anymore. Where you can freely have things and they don't dominate you at all. See, you got to come to that place. You got to come to the place that everything in your life. See, there's people, they do different things. Some people, it's their family, it's their kids, or they're this, or they're that. They hold on to so tight. They got their hand on it. And they are always praying to God, asking to God to help their family. He couldn't help their family no much how He tried, because they will not let it go. They won't say, you know, Jesus, I'm going to let You Lord over me, and You're going to take care of these things. Hallelujah. I'm not going to have that dominate me anymore. See, they dominate areas of our lives. There's a place that we go to when we think of them, it brings depression. If it does, they hold a place in you that dominates your life and your spiritual part of your life at that place. Where you can't look over there and smile and say, you know what? God's big enough to take care of this baby. Most people pray for the things that bother them. They pray about them in unbelief. They're praying with a groan. They're not praying about it with faith. Their prayer is like, oh my God, this much a change. Now I know, I'm the only guy that ever did that. You guys are all just so spiritual and sweet. You don't do this stuff. But you got to come. This is about releasing stuff and saying, you know, Lord, I've let this thing bother me. It's a place where I'm not happy. And it isn't because of You, because Your word teaches me how to be happy there. But I don't get happy there because I have my grips on this thing. I have my place where I hold it. People do that with the healing of their body. That's why they can't get healed. They have their grip on it. They can't ever look and just jump up and shout and say, praise God, I don't care what the devil's doing. I'm healed. Hallelujah. And go for a running spell. No, they always get grieved over another. When they're making confessions, it's always out of anxiety. Yeah, I believe I'm healed. I tell you. Folks, this is good revelation. You need to understand, because it's a place of freedom. God wants you to be free. God wants you to have joy. God wants you to be able to look at the problems that come along in life and they don't grieve you. They want you to stand and say, He will make me victorious over this. He'll show me what to do. I will overcome in this thing. This thing will not dominate me. This thing isn't going to rule me. The devil ain't having my kids. There's not even, I'll tell you what, I don't even pray concern my kids about this stuff, because the devil ain't having my kids. That's it. He ain't having my grandkids. He ain't having none of them. Amen. That's a settled fact. When I think about them and they act like hell, I can laugh. Hallelujah. Because the devil ain't taking them. I can have joy. Woo! Hallelujah! Hair lip the devil. Smile when the problem comes instead of whining all the time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because I tell you, see, there's a freedom, a place to walk. a freedom that God wants you to have. I'll tell you, the place you want that freedom is in the middle of trouble. Smiling when you have nothing but things to smile about, what does that take? My God, the world does it and don't believe in Jesus for 2 seconds. It's when all that's gone bad and you get up and do a dance. Hallelujah! Praising God. Hallelujah. You will make a devil man do that. I do it every once in a while at home. I'm by myself. I get up and just do a little jig. Say, Lord, there's about 20 problems I'm dealing with. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Woo! Glory to God! God's fixing them. Hallelujah. Woo! Oh, let's get the prayer team. Let's get the prayer team. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's good preaching anyhow. Made me happy. But anyhow, one of the things Kenneth Hagin taught in his book about being led by the Spirit. See, we'll get back here. Hallelujah. He was talking about those things. He said about the number one way that the Holy Spirit leads you is by the inward witness. Now, that's true because that's what he does. But how does he lead you by the inward witness? Is one of the things that the Lord said to me some years ago. He said to me, the number one way that the Holy Spirit leads you is by the Word of God. And that's how the inward witness he does, by the Word of God. The inward witness through the Word of God. See, if he's the Spirit of truth, he's always going to lead you in line with the truth by the Word of God. That's how he's going to lead you. So you need to understand this. You need to learn the Word of God. You need to have revelation on the Word of God. That's what you need. Because how do you measure whether the Holy Ghost is leading you or the devil's talking to you? Or somebody else is telling you something about them and they're saying, well, God told me this. Well, how can you measure against the Word of God? See, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. How did he overcome temptation? Did he do it by a prayer team? He did by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit led him there, and what? The Holy Spirit guided him and led him into the truth. He took the truth to stand against the devil. The Holy Spirit will always do that. He'll always lead you in line with what the Word says. That's your measuring stick, folks. See, many Christians are waiting for a feeling. They're waiting, well, I feel like God's moving. What in the heck does that mean? You feel like God's moving. What on earth does that mean? You feel like God's doing something. You know, it could be just somebody left a door open. It's cold. You got to chill. I don't know. I feel it. No, I don't feel it. See, following God is about knowing and ain't about feeling. It's knowing. I know I passed from death unto life. I don't feel like I passed from death unto life. I have no feeling about it whatsoever. But I know I passed from death unto life. The Holy Ghost is inside of me, bears witness to me, I'm a son of God. I know it. I'm not trying to think about it. I know it. It's inside of me. I got knowing in me. See, some people say, well, I believe I'm saved, you know, by faith. I started out on faith, now I'm living on knowing. You need to come to knowing. Most Christians are still over in the faith place, still trying to get saved by faith. That already should have happened. You should be in the knowing stage by now. How do you know you're saved? Holy Ghost told me. Right in line with the Word. Hallelujah. Right in line. He told me. Glory to God. And that's just like Him. Bear witness of the Word of God. I'm a child of God. Glory to God. You're a child of God. See, knowing that. Because see, the devil will come along and make you wonder. You know, you'll mess up and you know what he'll do? Well, you probably won't make it to heaven. You're a backslidden buzzard. You wouldn't have done that if you're a Christian. And then people start questioning in their mind if they don't go to the knowing. The knowing's on the inside, on the inner man. The Holy Ghost is bearing witness on the inside of you concerning the Word of God. Says, yes, you are! You're a child of God! See, that's what's going on in the inside of you. See, that's why you want to stay. It's on the inside. The Holy Spirit's always leading you in the truth. He ain't going to lead you. Something comes along and tries to lead you over because you blew it. Well, you're finished. You're done. You're getting kicked under the bus. See, if you don't know the Word and you don't know the Holy Ghost, what's the Holy Ghost going to do for you? If you've listened to preachers tell you, well, you know, sometimes, you know, we mess up. That's it, you know. I remember I was in church as a kid. The people always had to get saved again, you know. You got saved, but then you messed up. You had to go get saved again. And people were always going to the altar trying to get saved again. And they were always trying to do that. Why? They weren't taught anything about following what was on the inside. It was about the outside, the outer man. But the Holy Spirit bears witness. Listen to what Jesus said in John the 6th chapter. I want you to see something here because taking you to a higher level is what the Holy Ghost wants to do. And he's going to do that for you today. He's going to take you to a higher level. Now listen, this is the Holy Spirit. He says, Jesus made this statement. John 6:63. He said this, it is the Spirit who gives life. Now listen to the next statement. The flesh profits nothing. Try to convince people that today. All these people and their diets, their Christian diets. I wonder if Jesus was right. Wonder who was right out of this. He said, what the Spirit, what is the life giver is the Spirit. He didn't say lunch. Now listen to what he says. Now I want you to understand, I'm going to give you a revelation on what Jesus said. People say this, but don't really realize the second part, what they're even saying when they say this part of the verse. It says, Jesus made the statement, he said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. I want you to understand this, and you need to get this because this is a revelation from God to you. Jesus, why were Jesus' words spirit and life? Why were they? Well, number one, they came from his Spirit. He is speaking. We know this. Jesus did not speak unless it was out of his Spirit. Jesus said this, I don't say anything the Father don't say. What Jesus was saying is, look, the words that I'm speaking to you are spirit and what? They're life. See, this life comes out from the Spirit. It don't come from the body. Messing with your body all the time, trying to get healing from your body, from the natural all the time, it will never work. No doctors are ever going to be able to fix that. It's not going to happen. It will never happen. He said, my words are spirit and they are life. So I want you to understand this. What are your words? Are your words spirit and life? You could be quoting the words of Jesus, but that don't mean you're quoting spirit and life. They must come from your spirit. Those words must be in your spirit. What did Jesus say? If you say unto this mountain, be removed and be thou cast in the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart or in your spirit, those things you said, he said, are going to come to pass. What? Why? Because there's spirit and life if it came from your heart. If it didn't come, you can quote the word of God all you want, but if it ain't what's in you, it ain't going to do nothing. It's not spirit, nor is it life. Jesus says my words, he didn't say your words are spirit and life. Whatever you get into you becomes spirit and life, or you could get the wrong thing in your spirit and you could be speaking death. People do that. See, you and I want our words to become spirit and life. You want your words. That's how you got born again. Your words, God's word, got into your spirit and you spoke them and declared Jesus is Lord. It caused you to get born again. What? Life came from those words. You believed them. You can do it. This ain't something strange. What is strange about it is nobody teaches it. That's what's strange. Whatever you get into you and get into your spirit becomes spirit and life. That's what the Holy Ghost can bring to pass. He don't bring to pass your talking. Unless your talking came out of the inner man. Now the devil will help you on the outside. You get the devil's words in you and you go ahead and say them. Don't be surprised those things start coming to pass. But God's word, getting God's word inside of you, into your spirit, your words become spirit and life. That's what happened. That's why the Lord had me go over a month ahead of time, getting into the things about healing, listening over and over to healing scriptures, hours a day, listening to them, hours a day, healing scriptures, going over things in the Bible concerning healing, listening to Kenneth Hagin's series I have of his on divine healing, just listening to him over and over again. When I was in the hospital, I had no fear of nothing because when I came, see, I had life coming out of me. What was talking? I didn't say one bad thing about it. I don't care how much pain I was in. I made no other confession. Because I only spoke out of my spirit. That's all I talked out of. And when I wanted to know what God said, I looked on the inside to find out what he was saying about this. Because I said to him, you know, if I missed anything, I want to know. If I've missed it, anything, you let me know. He said, no, everything's fine. You're going to be all right. I said, well, Wanda, I said, that settles that one. We're done now. And within hours, I was completely normal. See, spirit and life. It's what you get inside of you. My words became spirit and life. because I listened to God's words till His words were in me, and those words were spirit and life. They wouldn't have been if I wouldn't have just, you know, most people are, no, now's the time to get people praying. Now's the time. Well, hold on. We don't even check to see who we're going to get praying. Are they speaking words of spirit of life? What are they talking? We don't know. We just get that. If we get a crowd, we get some people jumping on this thing, it's going to make something work. Hold it! What we want to do is find somebody that's got spirit of life. We want somebody that got something on the inside that can bring it to the outside. Glory to God. But see, you can do it. And you have done it. You got born again that way. You get the Word of God in you. You get it inside of you where you begin to speak. You can stop and say, my words are spirit and life. My words. If you can't say that, you will never speak to the mountain here and moved into the sea. That's how all faith works. See, that's what people say, well, I don't know if I'm in faith or not. Well, you're not. That's for sure. Why? Because if they're faith words, they're spirit and life, and you know it. It's in me, I believe it, and I'm saying it. Hallelujah. And that will come to pass. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They're spirit. God said such and such. I've joined in Him. That's what I believe, and I don't believe different about it. Hallelujah. I'm speaking spirit and life. Words from my spirit. Hallelujah. So you can speak all the right words. You can say scriptures and quote them from your mind. You know what they produce? Maybe nothing. Now, hopefully they'll produce some faith in you, but they may not. You may just stay on the mental side of it. Don't stay on the mental side of it. Get it down on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Get the word into you. Now, I want you to go look at this, scriptures that you've heard before. Proverbs, the fourth chapter. There are scriptures here I want you to see because these scriptures here, they aren't just for the Old Testament and for the Jews. This is a spiritual principle. It's about spirit and life, how it works. It's spirit and life, the way it works. Proverbs, the fourth chapter, verse 20 says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Now listen, he didn't say, my son, pay attention to the problems you got. Focus as much attention on what the doctor said. Do as much as, and then please get a lot of people's opinions. Find out what they have to say about it. No, he says, give attention to what? My words. Incline your ears to what? My saying. Now, understand this. See, this is your job to do. God doesn't do any of this. The Holy Spirit will not help you out when you don't do your part. The Holy Spirit is not a welfare Holy Spirit who you don't do anything, but you get a check in the mail. He don't do that. So it is your job to give attention to the words, to attend to the words. So in other words, you put your attention to the words. If you want to succeed in an area, that area must be become a place where you have certain things. It's just like in the natural they do. If a guy wants to be a doctor, he doesn't go to take mechanics classes and spends a lot of time in his garage fixing cars. It's just the same. The guy that wants to learn to fix cars, he don't go to medical school. What do you want to succeed at? If you want to succeed in health, you better learn what to do. Not making sure you're hitting all your doctor's appointments just right. Listening and quoting to people what the doctor's telling you about your problem. What are we supposed to attend to? The Word of God. The number one thing that should be in your attention is what the Word of God says about your situation. That should be the number one. People will say, and this is what the Lord told me, and I'm just going to tell you what He told me. He said, don't you ever say you're busy again. You're too busy for this and concern the Word and too busy for praying, too busy for... He said, don't you ever say that anymore. He said, because it isn't true. He said to me, if you set aside all the things that you think are so important that aren't important at all, He said, you got plenty of time to do what you need to be doing. And I said, yes, sir, you're exactly right. We talk about busy, but we're busy doing. And many times what we really need, we never get proficient at it. You don't need no more money for a better health insurance program. You don't need one. You need to get into the word about healing is what you need to do. You don't need better health insurance. You know what that's going to do for you? You're just going to need more and more money because it's going to keep going up, and you're never going to have enough. And you're the fault of that. You don't spend the time in what you need. It's spending the time of letting the world dictate what you need. I'm not saying this in criticism. God's dealt with me about these things. I want to know why things ain't working. Where we got all these problems going on? Why? What's the matter? We're not attending to the Word of God. We're attending to everything else. We don't choose jobs based on where we could spend more time with God. We choose jobs on the basis of money and benefits it gives you. Okay, we'll go over to something else. Proverbs, down here. Do not let them depart from your eyes. What? You don't let the word depart from your eyes. Now, I want you to think about this. When we talk about departing from your eyes, you can't walk around 24 hours a day with the Bible stuck in your face. You can't do that. But we need to understand because it's not talking about that. Over in Ephesians, it talks about the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. In fact, some translations say this. They say the eyes of your heart. It's not your understanding, the eyes of your heart. In other words, see, your inner man can see. Your inner man is in a realm that is different than the realm that you're walking around with these eyes on. Your eyes are walking around and your eyes are looking at all that you see. And you know what? Your eyes lie to you a lot. Because your eyes, what you believe about things many times is contrary to what the Bible says about it. So your eyes are lying to you. But you keep saying your eyes are true. I saw it. And God says you shouldn't even have been looking at it in the first place. Okay, now we'll go on to something. No. So, but your eyes, your spirit. In other words, see, your spirit realm can see into the unseen realm. The realm of the spirit is completely obvious to my spirit man. That's the realm it can see. If faith doesn't have eyes, faith has to be able to see the thing completed or you ain't in faith. My faith sees the answer. See, you got to come to the place where you don't let your heart, you don't let your eyes of your spirit ever get away from your answer. That it, no matter what's going on, you go to the doctor and he said, you know, it's gotten worse. But your eyes have not changed what you see. Your spirit man said, yeah, he said it worse. But you know, it would change things. I mean, I just want the doctor because of my eyes. I was told by a doctor, you know, I'm getting older, my eyes will just keep getting worse. So I didn't want that. I told that doctor, I ain't seeing him no more. I ain't going to pay some idiot. You're paying some idiot, you just listen to you saying to you, you're going to get worse. You're dumber than he is. So don't complain about him. I said, no, I want a different doctor. And I went, saw the different doctor. I liked him because, you know, he didn't say stupid things. I ain't paying some man to say dumb stuff to me. Why do we think doctors are so smart? I've met so many dumb doctors in my life that ain't got no sense. That even as doctors, they're terrible. Do you think that a doctor class has a class of people that are so much higher and smarter than everybody else and that stuff? No, they're just like the rest of the human beings. They got as many dumb people in their bunch as any other field has dumb people in their bunch. And today, there is no limit on stupid. I mean, it has moved across the things. And anyhow, so I saw, went in and saw the doctor. He checked me out because you know what I did? I've been confessing my eyes are getting better. And you know what he said? You're getting better. Well, it didn't surprise me none. I've been saying my eyes are getting better. I ain't listening to another stupid guy. I don't pay some man to say something dumb to me. Loads of people love to go to a doctor so he can confirm how stupid they are. You know, because they're complaining about their problem all the time and this, that, and the other thing. And they go to the doctor, they get to complain some more. And I want to keep a doctor I can complain to a lot. And he don't ever look at me and say, why don't you shut up? You ain't helping you. Do you know that you're not helping you? If you're negative, talking about things all the time and running around blabbing to people about your problems and you have this, I have this problem, I can't stand this, I can't take that. You're the problem, not them. You are. You're the 99% of your problem. You're saying you can't. What? How are we going to change that? If my words come to pass, how am I going to change that? Say, I'm believing God. Oh, shut up. Never happened. You see, I don't know how we knew this stuff. When I was a baby Christian, came in the kingdom, within a couple years, we understood this stuff. And today, people have been around it for all these years, and they still can't even get into babyhood stage of it. What is wrong? We weren't rocket scientists, were we? You know what we were? We were just gullible. Whatever God stuck in our mouth, we said it. And if anybody said any difference, we told them about it. We were the confession police. You don't talk sick to me, buddy. You're in big trouble. Don't you tell me I look bad. Well, that's what we did. We just believed. We were dumb and believed. But you know what? What we saw and what people see today is nothing. If we took even most of the ministries days, a lot of what we call the best ministries in the United States, we don't even see 1/10 of the miracles that we saw back then that happened through constantly, through people. And you know what the difference? It was a difference between the people. We were stuck in those days on the Word of God, and we wouldn't stay with nothing. Anybody else wanted to do something else, they did it without us. We had the Word of God, and we're going to stay with it no matter what everybody else does. Today, it's not that. Everybody is so insecure and so weak, so afraid something's going to happen. Somebody's not going to like me if I don't, you know, go along. And if I don't, we're so afraid. See, we got to overcome in these areas. Hallelujah. What about this one? He said, what? The words, your words. Listen, verse 22 in Proverbs. For they are life, those words. They are life to those what? Who find them. And what are they? And health to all their flesh. See, they're life. What did Jesus say about words out of your spirit being life? He says, my words are spirit and life. Here we have it. Words that become life, health to your flesh. Your words. Does God's medicine work? Will it work? If it does, and I'm saying I'm doing it, and I'm not seeing improvement, then what's wrong? Now, this is not criticism. I'm just telling you, we have to stop and say, why doesn't it work? Because we just found out this is supposed to work, and Jesus said it was. You can get offended or get healed. That's up to you. You can get offended or get healed. That's totally up to you. We don't get offended. We say, well, Lord, what do I need to know? Where am I missing? What revelation don't I have? What do I need? There's nothing. It is shameful if you don't stop and do that than rather stand in pride and let the thing just keep going in the same direction. Some people are just prideful. They ain't going to admit they're wrong. Ain't nothing you can do for them. I've had people ready that the Lord told me. He said, you can't do a thing for them. And he said, the direction they're going to die in it. Because why? Prideful. They're not going to admit they're wrong. Everybody's tried to help them. They turn around and fuss and fight with them about it. And keep telling people they're in faith and they're not. Everybody knows they're not. Everyone around them knows they're not in faith. They insist they are. And if anybody says any different, hallelujah. It's good preaching it. Hallelujah. Pride's a killer. Hallelujah. If it ain't working, it ain't working. Man, I've had to stop already in my Christian walk and say, you know what I'm doing ain't working. Now, I have a choice. There's got to be a change made. So if I want to find out a change, well, I'm not going to start calling people and ask them. I'm going to ask the guy that's in me, what do I need to know? Why ain't this working? I'm amazed how many times the Holy Spirit has spoken to me almost instantly when I finally ask him about it. Hallelujah. So do that. He said, now what are we supposed to do? Now this is your job. Here's your job. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. Who keeps your heart? We do. You're the guard of your heart. You are. You're the guard Basically, you hold the doorway to what gets into your heart or what doesn't get into your heart. It isn't the neighbor guy saying dirty words. It isn't some other person doing this or doing that. You're the guard. You decide what gets in your heart. Nobody else does. No one else does. You do. You decide what you believe. Nobody says that, you know, that makes you believe certain things. You decide what gets into your spirit. You know, you live out here in the world, all kind of crazy stuff going on. You can sit and pay attention to it. I remember years ago, a guy came and complained about it. He said, where he worked at, he said, all these guys are always telling dirty jokes. I said, well, what's your problem? I said, most people in America have to work in places where people are doing all kind of stuff. What is your problem? Well, I don't like it. I said, boy, I bet you they really like you too. I said, because you sit around instead of being Christian and ignoring this stuff and just following God, you gripe at him all the time, and I tell you, you're Mr. Witness. Look, if you can't put up with problem people around, your God ain't big enough, leave the earth, please. Go to wherever that God is that you serve is about that high, that can't take care of you. These things sound hard, but folks, it just seems anymore you got to rattle people's cages. They won't pay a bit of attention. People won't pay no attention to you on stuff until you just downright get in their face. Everybody wants somebody to talk sweet to them. Well, it ain't happening here. Man, I got to change. And if God deals with me in the same stuff, you're going to get dealt with the same way. You want patent-petted? Go to some other patent-petted preachers. The town's full of them. And you can go there and go along with them and let the same devils that dominate them dominate you. But it comes down to it. We gotta put the brakes on some stuff desperately. Hallelujah. Life. Your words can be right. You keep your heart without diligence because out of it springs the issues, it says, of life. I think King James says sources of life, source of life. The actual Greek word is the outgoing. In other words, there's like an outgoing or an outpouring of life. That's what comes out. In other words, that's what's in your spirit. You get the word of God in your spirit. You get diligent keeping that. You will have a constant source of life flowing out of you. See, you don't want to, this is where people make a mistake. What they do is they want to get into the word of God when they got a problem. And then they're trying to get an outflow of life. That's supposed to be a constant. A constant. You should have a constant things that you say concerning health and life. When people come along and say, well, you know, the flu's going around. Yeah, I say, I wonder where it's going. It don't come to my house. No, we'll sit there. We'll be afraid to say anything because they might think we're weak. The doctor walked in to me and said, he walked into me in the hospital and said, well, you know, while you're here, you can get a flu shot. I said, I already had mine. I said, I took them years ago. I said, I ain't had the flu since 1980. I said, I don't think we need shots now. See, well, what did he think of that? I don't care what he thought about it. I said it for me. And he can get benefit if he's got anything between his ears. And he looked at me and this is what he said. Well, yeah, it's working. And so he went off. Hey, it's a working. But what are you going to say? See, it's people. Everybody sits around and we're afraid somebody may not understand. I don't expect them to understand. A lot of times I'm saying things for my benefit, wait for yours. Hallelujah. I preach today just as much for my benefit. Why? I need to come in line with the same things. This is not different. It's the same stuff we got to deal with. It's the same things. Hallelujah. A source of life coming out of you. Here's a great, listen to this, Ecclesiastes. Now this is from Ecclesiastes. This is over in that place where you read all the time and your pages are really worn, you know. Ecclesiastes, okay? You know, and this is the place you go over to and the pages are still stuck together. You haven't been there in 14 years. Okay, Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. But this is a wonderful scripture. I love this scripture. Listen, Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. I know there's a lot of Ecclesiastes you could read and go through it and say, huh, ooh. Okay, let's go. But this is a good. Now listen to this. Verse 12. Make sure you have this, because this is a good one. Ecclesiastes 7:12 says, for wisdom is a defense, as money is a defense. Now listen to that. Wisdom is a defense like money. See, money is a defense against certain things. You come along and you need problems. You need food to eat. Money's a defense. You need a place to live. Money's a defense to that. But it says wisdom. Now look what it says. But let's go over and see what it says then about this wisdom thing. This is what you need to get. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. Money can't do that. The excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. See, we're talking about this life thing. The Word of God produces life. You get it into your spirit, you got the most valuable thing. If you can produce life out of your spirit into the natural realm, I'm just going to tell you this. Sickness will never dominate you. Poverty will never dominate you. Depression will never dominate you. None of those things. None of those things will ever dominate you. It'll never happen. The reason people have those problems is because they're trying to get things that are natural over in the natural, buying food, having money, and it's a good thing. People spend their time in the natural. If I just eat certain things, then I'll be this or that, the other thing. Or if we do this, that's over here. He says this, the excellence. Oh, there's excellence. It says, of the knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. It's a life giver. Hallelujah. It's a life giver. You want to get it in you. You want to have that life. You want to have that flow of life. We want to be what Jesus said, where we speak words that are life. See, but we need to understand. Listen, here's something that Jesus said. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, I want to read these to you because we're talking about this life thing. Because we want to get the words in us. This Jesus verifies again. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, I'm going to start at verse 34, read to you. This is Jesus making, this is Jesus. Now, this isn't Pastor Ed. This was actually Jesus said this. This wasn't Pastor Ed. Now, it might sound like it came from me. He said, brood of vipers. Honest, I didn't say it. I'm just reading after Jesus. No. You folks ain't a bunch of brood of vipers. Hallelujah. The Lord would never say the things. He couldn't say the things to you concerning to you people. He couldn't teach to them. They'd be too ignorant to even understand it. They wouldn't even know it. Hallelujah. Now listen. He says, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of what? The abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Whatever you get in abundance in your heart, that's what's going to be coming out of you. That is a spiritual law. That's law. Listen, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. How does he do it? How do you bring evil or good out of you? How do I bring it out of me? How do I get evil or good out of my spirit? It's what you say. Your speech. That's the only way you can release things from your spirit is through speech. Most of you do not talk enough concerning what the Word of God says. You don't talk enough. You believe things, but you don't ever say them. You believe stuff, but that's not what you're... What is in you, your spirit, can only come into effect when it's spoken. When it's said, that's how faith is released. It is released no other way. It isn't released through thinking. It's released through speech. You want to bring to pass what's in you, start saying what's in you. If it's in you, those words will be your spirit and life. If you believe something, you got to start saying that. You got to start speaking that, whatever it is. It's not enough to believe it. What you believe produces nothing for you unless it is said and did. It will produce nothing for you. Believing. People say, well, I'm believing God. Well, what did you do? Well, nothing. I'm just saying I believe. I believe it's true. Well, what's true? I've had people already just trying to drag the Word of God out of them, get to say the Word of God. Boy, they just won't say it. All they want to think is that if they believe something, Well, what is it that you believe? What you believe, you got to get on your lips. I don't care if you believe Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead. If you didn't say it, you didn't get saved. You can't get saved only by saying it. Then those words become spirit and life and produce salvation. They won't produce it any other way. It's the way it works. It's what's in the inside of you. It's what's good. If you want to produce good, you release it out of the treasure of your heart, what you got in you. Some of you, you don't need more word on certain areas. You ain't got enough talk. That's what your problem is. You won't say those things. And then you say a lot of other things out of your mind, which ain't good that you're doing. You're out of your mind. That's what's wrong. Anyhow, you got to get over where you're saying things from your spirit. Why? That's what releases the life. That life, the Holy Ghost is in you to bring it to pass. People say, I want to be led by the Spirit. Why don't you lead him a little bit? That's why Smith Wigglesworth said this, and I loved it. I heard it was a young Christian, and I decided, man, I'm gonna learn about operating this. He said, if the Holy Ghost don't move, I move the Holy Ghost. How do you do that? The Word of God. You start to move him by the Word in you and speaking, and he jumps right on it. Hallelujah. And starts going to work after it. This is why you can't talk death and have the Holy Ghost give you life. You can't talk sickness and disease and turn around and the Holy Ghost give you life. Why? Because they're words of death. He has no words of death. The Holy Ghost have. Jesus has no words of death. He don't have any. There is none. Jesus don't have. Well, there is some sicknesses I didn't take care of. I didn't bear some of them, you know. There was a few of them in the book. I'll send you a book and show, give you a list. No, that never happened. He doesn't have nothing to give but life. That's all he has. There isn't some things that, some depression that Jesus has still set aside for humanity. There's nothing like that. There's only life. That's all there is. That's all he has to give. The Holy Ghost only brings the words of life to pass because that's all Jesus got is life. Why? He got it from the Father. And that's all the Father got is life. He don't have any death in him, does he? Last I heard, he kicked death out of heaven. His name was Lucifer. And he's become the god of most of the church. Because they think his works are God's. Hallelujah. God gave you life. And he gave it to you just a little bit. He put a smidgen on there through it. He said more abundantly. That word more abundantly, actually his word would be to superabound. That's what it actually literally means in the Greek. To superabound. You're to superabound in life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No wonder blood clot couldn't kill me. I was superabounding. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost saw to that. He performed the Word. He did that. He performed the Word. And it worked. It worked. The Holy Ghost. It worked. Hallelujah. Praise God. The word works, doesn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:21 says what? Life and death are in the power of your believing. Is that what it says? It's amazing. Thought the believing thing. No, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Good or bad. There's some people that love bad. There's Christians who love bad. They'll just keep talking it. You can't shut them up. You ever run into a Christian? You can't shut them up with their negative. They just keep talking it. And then they'll say, pray for me. What, that you're going to die quickly instead of slowly like you're trying to kill yourself? Which do you want me to do? We may not even be able to get that to work if you keep talking like you. What do we do with it? See, it's talking life. You should always be talking life concerning yourself. You should always be speaking life. Whatever situations and things in your life that you're dealing with, you need to learn to speak life to them. Don't always confess what the problems are about it. Speaking life about the things. Keep saying about the life about the things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, I always go over what the Lord spoke to me is concerning 128th Psalm. He said, concerning my family. He said, and there it says, the man who fears the Lord walks in his way. His wife will be as a fruitful vine. His house, his children, his olive plants around his table. Thus shall be the Lord, the blessing of the man on anyhow. But the whole thing of it is, I've always took that. The Lord, after he gave me that revelation, then he said this to me. He said, if you do what I tell you to do, he said, I'll take care of your family. See, my wasn't job isn't try to take care of everything with my family. I am so glad. My job is to do the will of God. Now that doesn't, I don't neglect my family. I've always cared for my family and did things. But my job was to do the will of God. I want to tell you, if your job is to mostly take care of your family, I want to tell you this. This is what this. You'll love them more than you love God. You will love them more than you love God. You will love them more than you love God. That's a given. The Lord spoke to me about that. That's a great problem in the church today. Because when it comes to family, people love their family more than they do and won't listen to it. Because they just keep trying to get things working in the family. Saying, let's get it working with God so he can take care of our families. You ain't going to keep the devil out of your family and not serving God the way you should. And I've had this all along. When things go wrong in the family, if things ain't going right, I always go to the Lord and say, Lord, you told me that if I would do what you told me to do, you'd take care of the family. Now, if I've missed it, got out of line, you show me. I'll repent, get into line. But if I'm in line, this thing gets fixed now. This thing gets corrected. This stuff gets changed. I'm in obedience to the Word. I will have life in this situation. There will be life. And you know what? Life always comes. Life always comes. Your obedience has everything to do with your faith working. Not trying to fix everything for everybody else. Is your obedience, God will do tons of things for you because you're obedient to Him. He's looking for your obedience to Him. He's looking. He said, concerning family, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. Oh, we said, no, Jesus just came to bring a peace, make everybody happy. That's what He did. Yeah. Oh, we're word people. Oh, yeah, we're word people. Yeah, we're word people. Yeah, the words we like to hear and the ones we don't like to hear, we just... the ones that don't fit our little idea of what love is. People hate Jesus' guts. I'm talking about Christians. They didn't like Jesus. He walked... Jesus showed up in churches today and preached. They'd kick him out so quick. Dear Lord, he'd be gone. They'd say, surely that was Lucifer was in here. Lucifer comes in, they say, come on, we love you. Oh my God, what an angel of light. Hallelujah. Now listen here, Mark 7. Here's again is our famous guy, his name was Jesus. Mark 7 chapter. Verse 20, he said, and he said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man? He said, now listen, verse 20, from within, out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications. He goes on to say what all these things are. In verse 23, he says, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. See, they got over in the things in what they're talking about. The Jews were talking about being defiled, eating with dirty hands. In other words, you know, we have a lot of things today, our little Christian laws and rules on stuff. Yeah. I've been around Christians and that stuff in major churches and spirit-filled churches, Rhema churches, and man, they have a greater interest in diet than they got in following God. They do. I just blows my mind. I mean, they're starting to eat by the law, you know. We don't eat shellfish. I say, send them to my house. I eat shellfish. Send them right over the shrimp, the clams. We do it. 'Cause why? I got faith. I know how to eat by faith. I'll eat them dirty things. Send them over. With the butter, too. No margarine. No, any margarine? I'm gonna call fire down on you if you send margarine over. We will not tolerate those things. I had a guy tell me, I don't eat pork. I said, send it to me. I know how to make it on the grill. Oh, man, it's awesome. I'll get that sinful stuff out of your hands. Send it to my house. Listen, Paul said, the ones that can't eat are weak in faith. But then again, that's in the Bible. Who cares about that? Let's go to something else. Hallelujah. But what defiles a person? It's what comes out of a heart. That's what will defile a person. Much in the church world today, what is a lot of people dealing with the areas of what we call sin or this and that, the other things, or what we call evil, is based on our idea of evil and not what God calls evil. There is much goes on in the church world today that spirit-filled people think is all right and okay, and it is not. It's evil in the eyes of God. There are too many that have no revelation on a lot of the Word of God. There's no revelation. You know, we've made, you know, spirituality eating and drinking. What you eat and what you drink and what's it, this becomes spirituality. It's gotten all messed up. Things have gotten all messed up, you know. God's going to move in you better if you eat a certain diet. There's people who literally believe this stuff. Oh, they're into it, and if you're just, God's going to, and I just say they don't realize they're operating in demonic areas, and it ain't God at all in their life. It ain't God. It's demons. But they don't see it. They can't see. Now, I want to read to you concerning the parable of the sower. I want to do this to read this. This is one of the things of the Lord, because we want to see something here about what produces and things that don't. We need to be able to understand these things, because we need to understand about measuring things. The measure of the word you get into your heart will determine the life that is produced from the heart through you into your body or whatever it is you're believing God for. It's the measure that you put into things in your heart. Now, the parable of the sower, I'm just going to read the, in from Mark, the fourth chapter, in verse 14, we're going to read the explanation, because we're talking about the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, and this is one thing, the Holy Spirit, if you're going to be led by the Spirit, you got to get the Word into you, because the Holy Spirit performs and operates the Word. That's what you want the most, is get the Word into you. That's what you want to do the most. Why? Because if you get it into your heart in belief and you start saying those things with your mouth, the Holy Ghost starts producing those things for you. That's what you want. This is what the parable of the sower is about. It's about getting the Word into the heart and then allowing it. Now we're going to find out there's things that will cause it not to produce. You want to know. You need to know that. You know, need to know that there's things can hinder you. And so we have in the fourth chapter of Mark, verse 14, it says, the sower what? Sows the word. So this is what the Lord told me to do. I'm sowing the word right now. This is what I have been doing to you. I've been sowing the word to you. Now, we're going to find out, because some will produce things and others won't. But it's going to determine to you. It's determined to you. See, we're going to find out. This is working here. We're sowing the word. The word is being sown. Now, verse 15. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Or some people will sit in here and they'll hear what it says and they'll just, you know, let the devil just take it from them right away. They won't even wait to hit the church door. The Word of God comes, you know. They'll just, till they just, we hear, many times there's people that sit and hear things and really pay no attention to it at all. One of the worst things isn't doing that, is the people who think they already, no, I heard that before. I want you, if you ever listen to the Word of God and think, I heard this before, you're already in a bad spot. The Word of God should always be life to you, and it should always be good to hear it again, you know? I mean, I still like a good ice cream once, you know, I don't say, you know, I had ice cream, you know, 2 years ago, never want any again. And please, last week I had a steak, we'll never eat another one of those. We just had one. No, we'll eat one tomorrow and maybe the next day too, I don't know, just, you know, send it on over. You see, what is good and what I like, and I love the Word of God. And the Word of God is always life, and it never comes to the place it doesn't taste good. I've watched this. I'm an observer in my Christian walk. I've watched people. I remember when I was in Bible school, and I marked certain people in Bible school that I said will now amount to nothing as a Christian. They're in Bible school, and I knew they'd amount to nothing. They would say things like, Brother Hagin would have meetings. I'm not going to go to those meetings because I've heard those things he's taught before. And I would mark them. I'd say, you watch. They're going to go nowhere. They never heard them. They never heard them. To them, it's a story. To them, they never heard the life of it. They were people who the word was taught and immediately let the devil rob it from them, thinking they were smart. They got robbed right away. I'll tell you what, there's series of things that I've listened, I've heard Kenneth Hagin's stories 15,000 times. And I'll tell you, there's things I still get revelations from out of those things that he says. And I think, all the years I heard that, but I never got that part. Wow, that was good. Why? Because it's always life to me. It's life. I want to hear it. I desire to hear it. I want it. I have never heard so much teaching on healing that I don't want it again. That's never happened to me. It's never such a thing. You know why? Because I'm in love with health. Too many people who want health are not in love with it. They don't like it enough. If they don't have to do anything to get it, they'll take it. But if you really go after it, if you're going to eat it every day, you're getting out there a little too far. I found out when Brother Hagin said that he eats it every day, health, I thought, well, Ed better get on to really liking health. That better be better than ice cream. And hallelujah, it's been working over the years. It works to do that. Eat it often. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, so it shows those ones by the wayside. Then it says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. He said, so in other words, we're talking stony ground. What is it? Stony heart. In other words, they got rocks in their heart. They're hard-hearted about some things. They got hardness in them. Now, listen with these people. Who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Oh, wasn't that really good preaching? And they have no root in themselves, and soon as they leave the church, they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when what? Tribulation or persecution arises because what? For the word's sake, immediately they stumble. In other words, I'm going to tell you what. The word is something that will set you free, but it cannot, will also cause you trouble. It'll bring persecution and trouble to you because I'm going to tell you, the devil ain't going to let you have the word, and he's going to send people to try to get you, you know, off the word. He doesn't want you on the word. He doesn't want you following the word. Persecution will come. You know, if you don't ever receive any persecution, I know this, you never talk the word around people. You don't ever do things, that stuff. It ever upsets anybody concerning, you never act like a Christian. But I'm going to tell you, if you talk the word and you live like a Christian, there's always going to be somebody there to say something about it to you. Persecution will come. It'll happen. People will not like what you're doing. I mean, in our nation today, my God, most of our nation hates Jesus. My words, we have in Congress and everything, and all these congressmen are even call themselves Christians, go along with the things of trying to suppress Christianity, and over here cheering on the Muslims. We can't have a cross, but we'll help them build a synagogue, build one of their temples or whatever it is they're building. Dear Lord, it's good preaching, folks. Now listen to what he says. So in other words, these ones here, now understand about these ones. These ones produce nothing. They don't produce a thing. Nothing ever gets produced. See, just because you heard the word, you know what it said, don't mean you're going to produce anything. Now, there's another group. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. Now listen, what are the thorns? The thorns are the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things. Those are called thorns. Why are they called thorns? Well, God don't want us to have money and that's it? No. Number one, cares of this world, worrying about stuff. You know what the cares of the world is? Jesus said what the cares of the world was. The world's worrying about their clothing and their food and all that kind of stuff. See, if that's the kind of stuff that you're after and that stuff, if those are things that are really hugely important to you, they're cares of this world. That's what the world worries about, those kind of things. The world worries about when, you know, the world can be sitting there with its mouth full of food worrying about whether or not we're going to get dinner tonight. That's the world. Loads of Christians are in those boats. They're always, am I going to have enough? People do that concerning giving. I don't give. What if I give my money here? I won't have enough if I want to do, so I don't give. You know, I got to save because they told me I need over $1 million to be saved so I can retire. I need to have that over $1 million in there. And God, you ain't ever getting near that. But I love you with all my heart. But you touch that money, you're finished, you sucker. Oh, yeah. What can God touch of yours and what can he? Well, I can't pull money out of there. I'll have to pay taxes. Oh, that's the most important, isn't it? Okay, we'll go on to something else here. All right. The deceitfulness of riches. Love the desires, or really, King James said love of other things, things that are loved above God. Covetousness is idolatry. That's what the scripture says. New Testament, not Old Testament. Covetousness is idolatry. In other words, these are thorns. So what happens? You want to make sure you don't have none of these thorns. Why? Because of this. Entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. See, some people think, well, you know, I must not be believing the word, but they have this other thorns in there that they never deal with and wonder why certain things never produce fruit in their Christian walk. Why? Are you cleaning the thorns out? Do you have things in your heart that aren't good? Jesus seemed to think that could happen. People don't examine their own heart. They don't examine themselves. You know, God's really been doing some examination on Ed. I don't know about you, but he's been doing some examination on me. Especially what I watch, what I'm looking at, what I do. But Ed, he's just been dealing with me on stuff. He's been talking to me. Why? Because of holiness. In other words, and not letting things distract me. Not letting things get in that turn around and keep the word from producing like it wants to. It's not to hurt me. Because I've been telling him I want certain things. So he's trying to show me how to get it. He's trying to show me how to latch on to it. What I have to do. And so there's things in me that got to change. I have to change the way I do things. I have to change, you know, the kinds of things that I'm doing. So, hallelujah. It's good. Hey, don't feel bad for me. Now, see the last class, what happens? It says, but those are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear what the word and they accept it. In other words, they hear what the word said and they say the word's right. The word's right, we're just going to do the word. The word's right, we're just going to do what the word says. The word's right. They don't say the word's right, but I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. Lots of Christians do that. They'll say, oh yeah, the word's true, but that ain't what we're going to do. I got something else in mind. But these are the ones, they accept it. And what they do? They bear fruit. It says 30, 60, and 100 fold. In other words, the fruit bearers, there's four types of soil that are here. Only one type produces fruit. Every one of them at some time believed. So we know this. Believing in itself produces nothing. You ain't ever heard it taught like that before, have you? But it's what it's telling us, isn't it? Every one of these believed at a point. But there was one of them down here at the end. They didn't let anything in to keep it. They didn't let persecution bother them. They didn't say, they wanted what the word says. You know, somebody comes along and says, you know, we're this is what the word says and this is what we're doing. Well, you're a little fanatical. See, persecution will come. I've had that all along. And I've had ministers that have thousands and thousands of people follow them. Tell me, you know, that I need to use more wisdom. Don't get out there so far. You know, you're just going there too far. I ain't going far enough. I ain't going as far as number one. I know this. I know those people would not like Jesus. Yet they sit and lie and tell people they do. Because Jesus went too far. He went so far they killed him. These guys wouldn't give up their life for nothing. Because their lives are good, full of stuff. And they make a lot of money. And they do all these things. And they're full of stuff. And they ain't giving their life up for anything. We got to keep the stuff flowing. We got to have the stuff because my stuff is my proof of my great faith. I want to see demonstrations of glory. The stuff that can be bought with money, thank God we can get prosper with money, but they're not signs of the glory. The signs of the glory. I want to have happen through us what can't happen through Bill Gates. He might be able to buy 40 jets. I don't care. But he can't heal 40 people. I want to see those things and demonstrate. I want to see the lame walk, the blind see. I want to see arms grow that are withered. I want to see those what man can't do and money can't buy. I want those things. I want to see that people stop and say, man can't do this stuff. This is not within the bounds of natural things that people can do with their wisdom and bring things to pass. That these things happen by the hand of God and God alone. Where they stop and look and they say, there's no way this guy could be God. There has to be a God behind this thing. Because men can't do this thing. There is no technology that will do this. See, we're tied to technology today. We can't even communicate with God. Our phone's in our face. Our phones dominate our time and dominate everything. Say, I want to hear from God. He is not on Facebook. Folks, we got to get around to where we're saying, hey, hold it. I just watched a video of a thing. They had one college. They took 24 students in a class, and what they did is they all gave up their phones for 2 weeks, gave their phones up. So they gave their phones up for 2 weeks, and they showed them because they had a hard time doing it. This was really a toughie. I mean, because these people live with their phones, and they gave their phones up. And for 2 weeks, they didn't have their phones. Now, they could use a computer and stuff to do because they had homework stuff in college, things they had to do. But you didn't have your phone with you all the time and going through it. And so they interviewed them after with getting back. And I was really thought was interesting because some of them said, I don't know if I want it back. They said, you know, I didn't realize I wasn't living it at all. I didn't realize that thing was dominating and ruling me, and I wasn't at all. They said, I really wasn't making friends with nobody. I had no interest in people around me. It's my phone. My phone, you know. It's the most important thing. It's my phone. And they said, they gave them their phones back, and they said, we don't know if that's a good thing, because now we're going to have to fight this thing of having it and not using it all the time. See, that's one sense of times I go away. I left my phone at home, and I go away. You know why? So I need to have. That if somebody's dying, they can't ever get a hold of me. They're going to have to find God. Isn't that a unique experience? Believe God. You see, we don't realize how much. It's like today, we didn't have, like I lived during the days that, you know, we didn't even have private telephone lines in our house. You had party lines and you'd pick it up and somebody would be talking. We drove somewhere. You didn't have it. You went on a trip. You didn't have a phone. You didn't have GPS. You actually had to read maps and stuff. You had to have intelligence to go somewhere. You couldn't be the vegetable. People had to have some kind of wits between their ears. And people who couldn't do it, wouldn't do it, take the time to learn, they couldn't go away from home because they couldn't read a map, so they had to find somebody else to take them. We didn't have it. Oh, they have to have their phone. What if I get in an accident? Men have been traveling for centuries without them and doing so much better. But we thought having it is going to save my life. Isn't that a shame? Hallelujah. Now, I want you to listen to what Jesus said after he told the parable of the sower in Mark, the 4th chapter. Listen to this. The scriptures. He told them these things. Mark the 4th chapter, verse 23, Jesus says this. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, you could have ears in your head but never hear. Where are you hearing? What about your heart? Are you hearing? That's what Jesus, now listen to what he said. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it doesn't say with the same measure God uses, you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Jesus said this, you determine how much you get, not him, not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can multiply to you what you measure. And let me just say this, and the Lord told me to say this. What I preached here today, you're going to determine whether you leave this, once you leave this room. It's very easy to sit here under the anointing and say, yeah, that was right, that was good. But when you leave here and the anointing's not here, you're going to be measured. You're going to decide. You're going to measure, because you're not going to measure it here. You measure it out there where you live. When you go home this week, we'll find out what your measure is. You will. Whether you just walk out the door and just go back to what you're doing and just go back. What you measure when you leave, the importance you put on it determines what you get. The Holy Spirit told me to say this. It's not here. We could all amen it and say it's great. But you know what? When I leave here, you people don't think I just walk around with the anointing on me all the time. You know, when I leave here and the anointing lifts off of me this afternoon, usually it lingers on me for a bit of a time. And the anointing lingers and it runs off of me. And I think, who was that guy preaching? What on earth did he say? But I get over there. And you know what? I have to be just like everybody else about getting into the Word. My flesh says, well, let's do this instead. I say, no, I have to do this. This has got to be done. I have to do it. I have to. There's no difference. I have flesh just like yours. Isn't that surprising? You know? Say, you know, I already did all my thing today because, see, I preached and I did all that. See, and so I can just go home and let's just go home and watch football and watch a couple of guys get paid $1 million a year, years cheat, lie, steal, and whatever else, and that'll be my entertainment for the day. Get picked up on drugs, whatever else. It doesn't matter. Beat up their wives and girlfriends. I'll tell you what I want to watch. I need entertained. All right. Okay. But what is it? It will be measured to you, and to you, listen, who hear, more will be given. Now listen to what he says. Verse 25. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. I want you this, because here's the warning. If you don't do something about what's said, even what you have is going to be taken from you. I have watched it over the years. I've watched people. This is one of the things that we have today is why I see it. I see people, when I started and came in the kingdom, people on fire from God. And today, they're just religious and they just go through their religious routines. They have no hunger or thirst for God anymore. Why? Now they hear the word and it's just, yeah, I know these things and I know this stuff. They go through their things to church. But you know what? The life that they had has been taken from them. They don't have it no more. You know what troubled me? I saw this cistern leaking, my cistern. Things going out of me where before I was full of fire and I wasn't anymore. And I said, hold it, we ain't going here. And the Lord said, you're going to have to go back and practice what you used to practice. You're going to have to go back. You're going to have to go back to the hunger. You ain't going to get it any other way. There isn't a plan B. Just want to let you know that. The same old way that the Bible tells us how you do it is the way you got to do it. There's not another way to do it. There's not another way to do it. There's not one. See, there's things of the past, the moves of God. I've been fortunate enough to be in some moves of God. And the things that bring moves of God, you're going to have to do. It doesn't change. I've studied, you know, a lot of things on the areas of church history, revivals. And I found out there's patterns to revivals. There's patterns. And if you don't follow the pattern, it don't come. I don't care how much you want it. You pray night and day. And you ain't going to ever see nothing. Because there's things we must do. And there's one thing that we must do. Is we not need to come back to a hunger and thirst. We need to come back to the place. We're trying to get God to move in some way to make us hunger and thirst. What we ought to be hungry and thirst for. Why would this good God that saved me, why does he have to do something special to me to get me to want to go after him? What is wrong with me? That's like me. Isn't there something wrong with me as a husband? And if I have to get my wife to do things to chase her, or I won't. That's a good sign I don't love her. I'm supposed to love her whether she does right or not. I'm supposed to love her and walk. And see, the church has had no love for God. We talk about love for God and have had no love for Him. Come on, let's be honest, people. Let's, we're trying to get Him to drag us to chase after Him. We should just be wanting to get after Him. And I said, what's wrong with me, Lord? I'm not throwing this at you guys. I'm me too. Why am I expecting Him to do something for me to get after Him? I should be getting after Him. Look what He's done for me. Why should I expect some kind of special treatment to get a revival? I ought to be the guy saying, oh God, forgive me for being such a stupid idiot and not paying attention, not loving you like I should, lying out of my mouth like I really wanted you when I didn't. See, we have to come to this place, folks. We got to decide, am I going to go after this thing? We're trying to get God to make me hungry. Dear Lord. Now, physically, does He have to drag us to the table? My God, you put some food there you like, and my word, we'll just chase it down and eat that thing, man. What's on His table? I ought to be chasing it down. And I said, Lord, I wasn't chasing it down. He took me back and reminded me the days I used to chase it down. I could not wait to get in the presence. I'd get home from work and go lock myself in the bedroom with God. And the presence of God would come into that room. I had more supernatural experiences in 321 Canal Street in the front bedroom on the second floor than probably most people have had in an entire lifetime. I'd had day after day, I would go lock myself in that room and the presence of God would show up in that place. He didn't do nothing special. I chased Him. He never chased me. I chased Him. And after a while, I found out He liked hanging out with me. See, we want God to hang out with us when we're, well, you know, if you do something special, I'll come. If they're going to have a special meeting, then I'll go to it. Or if they have a special this, or they have this, yeah, just like the store. If you get a special, I'll go by. But if we don't, huh? That's God. That's our God, you know. A special people. See, and he's been on my case, so I just get on yours too. So I just, we got to keep this thing equal, you know. It's equal opportunity, you know. Hallelujah. But folks, what is required of me is required of you too. Say, God, I want you. God, I have to have you. I've been just doing things. There's things I've been setting aside that, and some things, they're not a sin to do. They're not wrong, but they're weights. What are you in training for? What's your idea of a better life? How long do you plan on being on this earth? Do you really believe Jesus is coming back? People say, yes, I do. Most people are living like He's never coming back. See, I realize I need to live like He's coming tomorrow. I need to live in such a manner. I realize this. I used to live in that kind of manner. That was the most important thing. The most important thing to me was being hooked up with Jesus, and that was the most important thing. I remember a lot of people were like that. I remember, you know, in Full Gospel Businessmen, and they were just businessmen and farmers and carpenters and, you know, and all this kind of contractors and this kind of thing and that stuff. And we get together them. Those guys were after God. They were after God more than the big name preachers are today. Those men were after God. They loved God with everything. They would drop anything in a hat to get God. If God was doing something, they would stop. They weren't farmers so busy that they couldn't attend meetings and couldn't go to church and couldn't do because it was just so busy. Those guys would show up for all the stuff. The farmers did. The farmers! Today we got all the automation and still can't stop, have to keep things running because we ain't got time for God. I want to tell you what, if American church don't make some changes and Christian makes some changes, we ain't going to stay on the top of nothing. You can't continue run prosperity without God. It will collapse. It will collapse. You can't do it without God. God requires some time. And He's requiring more out of me on time with Him. Just to know His will, to know His plan. Instead of what's Ed's plan? What's Ed's idea about things? What do I think about? I can say this, truthfully, most of the time I'm spending with God has nothing to do about any agenda I have. I'm just talking about Him, about what's on His agenda. What does He want? What does He want of me? What do we do? We've had all of our ideas and followed the plans of men and did this, and look where we're at today. Where are we at today? Crying for a move of God that all the wisdom of a man said they were going to bring us and didn't bring us nothing. And bring us anything. Saying, Lord, forgive us for our stupidity. Forgive us for being those not being those hungry little children that are saying, we can't make it without you. If you're not in it, ain't no point in being in it. If you're not doing it, there ain't no point in doing it. Lord God, we just want to be like those little children again. Lord, whatever you want. Lord, here am I. Send me. What do you want to do with me? I don't care. If it could be a little thing you want me to do, I'll do it. If you want a big thing, whatever it is. Go here, go there, do this, whatever. You know, you want me to go to Egypt, we'll go to Egypt. Lord, it don't even matter no more. The only interest I have right now is doing the will of God. That's the only interest. Because we must have the move of God. I want that move of God Lester Summerall talked about. I want that one. I want to do. Men like him did what it took to bring moves of God. I want to be in the same manner. I want to be joined up with that kind of people. That you do whatever needs to be done. Whatever. And right now, number one seems to be on God's agenda is not so much active trying to do stuff, is getting to know him. You know, Wanda and I have been supporting Christopher along for years. Christopher has miracles and stuff. His meetings are phenomenal. He goes into places, he holds meetings in areas now. He's over in Asia where he can't even tell people where he's at because you can't let people know things about stuff because of the governments and different things going on. But Christopher, some years ago, Christopher was flying from, actually at the time was flying from Asia to the United States. And on the plane, he had a vision. And he had just come out of a country where, socialistic country where there's was the church really had a lot of areas of oppression. But Christopher was on the plane. He got caught up to heaven, and we got caught up to heaven. He saw Jesus standing there, and he saw these people, and he said, these people, he thought, I know them. And he said they were in these beautiful gowns, and he said they were all woven with gold and jewels. He said, just beautiful. And he said, when he walked up, he looked, he said, these are the people of the place I just left. And he said, Jesus turned around, looked at him and said, they really love me. Which he was really saying to Christopher, you don't. And he said this to Christopher. He said, listen to this. He said, you chase all over the world for a miracle. You chase here and chase there to go and pray, and you want to have miracles. And he said, but you don't spend any time with me. You need to understand this. The number one thing God wants right now from you is fellowship with him. Of taking time to take the word and get before him and spend time with him. Not what you think needs done. God, what do I need to be do? What do you need to do to change me? What about me, Lord? Lord, I want to know you. I want to be like with Kenneth Hagin when he said he knew his wife, he knew Jesus better, the Holy Ghost better than his wife who's laying in a bed beside him. What kind of relationship did he have? He said, my physical wife, I don't know her as well as I know the Holy Ghost. Way back then when I read that, I said, man, I need to get to know the Holy Ghost. This guy has a walk. See, we want the things. He didn't seek after stuff or things. He sought after God. He knew if you got near God, then this stuff happens. And God told Christopher, you're chasing all over the world. You're asking me for miracles, but he said, you don't spend any time with me. See, you'd read Christopher's reports and he'd send all these reports of all the miracles and we'd think, wow, isn't he really great with God? God didn't think so. God didn't think so at all. I'm not interested when ministries just send me the reports of all the stuff that happened. That don't mean they walk with God. We don't understand that kind of stuff. God does a lot for people in spite of us. Because they want something or need something or believe for something. He uses us. just because we're a vessel to be used, not because we're the right guy or the right woman or the right this or the right that. He wants fellowship. He drastically wants to... He is interested in us as individuals. As individuals. He wants to have personal fellowship with you. See, all my Christian walk, I've heard people say, you know, we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Most of the church never has that. None. They don't have any personal relationship. They think because he read about him in a book, that ain't personal. That's not personal. Knowing God in the book ain't personal. Do you know what makes him tick? Do you know the things he really likes? There's things he likes that we don't do. Mike talked to you know, a little bit about this morning and Thanksgiving thing. You probably don't even do 1% of what he likes about that. I'm not saying this to be critical, but it shows that we know very little about him. We make a big deal over Christmas, but we don't make a big deal over even the church of Thanksgiving. You know, just one day I thank you, God, and let's get back over to asking again. Okay, all right. But see, he wants a personal, he wants you to love him like he loves you. See, I've had I don't know about you, this year I've done a lot of repenting. I've done a lot of repenting, let me tell you. There's people writing the books, you don't have to repent. I'm going to tell you what, you're a heathen devil if you don't. Because I want to tell you what, you get in the presence of God and you start seeing you know, like you are, and it's like, oh my God. I sure have. You know what embarrasses me is this, that as a young Christian, I was better than some things I am now. That's what embarrassed me. As a baby, I had better sense than I have now. I think I grown up. And I had to stop and say I didn't grow up. I got over and thought I knew a lot. But you know what? I'm in desperate need of him. Let's stand to our feet. I don't know if you understand today. I hope you do. And the whole point of these things is talking these things. I hope today you see a desperate need in him. He's talking about measuring. It's funny that because Ken Kasich had talked about that, where the Lord had dealt with him about measuring the church and measuring his people and measuring things. God, he saw an angel was measuring, and he said, he asked the Lord what the angel was doing. He says, I'm measuring my people. In other words, he's going checking things out, seeing what things really are. Whether we come up to the standard. Well, I've been measured, and I haven't come up to the standard. But you know what? I'm not going to feel lousy. I'm not going to feel bad about it. We're going to change it. Hallelujah. God don't have us measuring ourselves so we could just say, poor old me. I missed it. No, he's showing us because why? We can meet the standard. We can meet the standard. Hallelujah. He's showing us because our opportunity is here. But you know, I don't think your opportunity will last forever. I think some of these things can really be turned around quickly for us. I think some things can be really turned around quickly. I don't think we have to wait years for things and stuff. I think there's many things that we can step into. There's just changes in our hearts and what our desires about things, of what we do and how we've looked at things. Saying, Lord, you know, and I want to say this. There's things about us we don't even see about ourselves yet. There's things to be changed. Well, and he ain't going to throw everything up in your face because you just, you know, it's all about growing. But he's showing us things. But one of the things we have to come back to is our love for him. We got to come back to that. Remember in the book of Revelation, the church at Ephesus? See, they always cheer the church at Ephesus was so great. But the Lord said this concerning them in the book of Revelation. You left your first love. He said, I'll remove your candlestick. He removes a candlestick. You ain't a church no more. You may have meetings. You may do stuff. But God ain't there. They left their first love. See, we talk about them. They talk about them. Oh, man, yeah, the church at Ephesus, they were this great thing. They had a lot of the trappings, but they lost and left the first love. Well, who was their first love? See, you can get over and get religious about the word and you'll be doing and being a nice person and doing all this kind of stuff. I was doing a lot of good things, but I wasn't loving the Lord like I should. He wasn't number one on Ed's list. Oh, I said he was, but but you know what? How to change on the inside. And say, Lord, you're going to have to come to the forefront. Whatever else is in here, show me, I'll remove. Any thorns in here, let's get the thorns out. Anything has to be removed, I want to remove it. I want to get things in order again. I want to get things back in the correct order. I want this, my inner man, to be this place of life. I want this inner man to be where this life flows out of. I want to be that. I don't want to have hindrances because I had hindrances to life. And I said, I don't want to do that. I don't want to have it. I don't want to have any of those thorns. I don't want to take the word of God for granted and hear it and say, yeah, that was really good and it was really nice. I don't want to take any of that for granted anymore. I want to treat it with the prize that it is. The prize that I treat the word at today determines how I treat Jesus. He is the word of God. I can never minimize what the word is and what it says. Because why? It minimizes Jesus. I don't want to ever do that. And you don't either. Hallelujah. But you know what? I found this out. It takes a real conscious effort to do that. I have to be diligent. I found out there's areas I wasn't diligent. So things got in. Things minimized the word because I didn't protect my heart with diligence. I didn't do that. And I found out I need to do that. Because out of our heart, you see, the source of life, the overflow of life, the outpouring of life. Hallelujah! Pouring out of us. Father, I just want to thank you today. Lord God, I am full of thanksgiving. I am so thankful. I am so glad that you're my God. I am so glad. Lord God, thankful for your patience. There has been no one more patient than you have with me. Glory to God. Patience, hallelujah. Lord God, when I sit and look the things that you're dealing with me on, Lord God, and I sit and look and say, my, and you didn't quit? You stayed after me. You loved me and stayed after me in spite. Lord God, when I didn't hold you in the place of love that you deserved, nonetheless, your love didn't change at all toward me. My. What a God. What a God. Hallelujah. Lord, we surely haven't touched the depths of your love for humanity. It is absolutely phenomenal. And Father, I want to thank you. The Bible says that your mercies are new every morning. Dear Lord, I'd have just taken the old ones if I could have got them. Hallelujah. But every morning there's new ones. Mercy starts all over again. Hallelujah. You have mercy on us today. Lord God, you didn't say these things to put anybody under a guilt trip. You put us into a place to correct. Hallelujah. To chasten the ones you love. Lord God, you love them. You love them. You love them. Hallelujah. Lord God, you don't love them a little bit. Jesus, you died and rose for the dead for each one of them. Hallelujah. You took their judgment upon yourself through your great love and your great mercy. Hallelujah. And Lord God, sending your wonderful Son, you sent the Word and the Word became a living person walking on the earth. Oh my. And Lord God, you breathed your glorious words through Him to us in this earth. Just for us, Lord God. And then God imprinted it in a book and gave it to us. And Lord God, I didn't always look at the book as much as I should have. Forgive me. Lord God, I didn't cherish the words of the book like I should have cherished the words of the book, and therefore I didn't cherish Him like I should have. But Lord God, I want to thank you. Thank you for telling me. Thank you for reminding me. Thank you for correcting me, bringing me back to the place, Jesus. You're Lord, and you deserve to be Lord. Jesus, you deserve to Lord over every bit of my life. You own me. You bought me with a price. You own me. And Lord God, I count it a great joy to be owned by you. Hallelujah. Lord God, you paid for me, and I willingly submit to the payment, Lord God. Hallelujah. To whatever you want me to be or do. Lord God, whatever is mine, I must yield it to you, Lord God. To hold back, I'd be a fool. I would be a fool to hold back. Whatever, Lord God. Lord, with my life, whatever you want to do with, whatever you want me to be, whatever, Lord God, your choice. You have the choosing. And Lord God, I give you that. I gladly lay at your feet your choosing, Lord God. Lord, that I would be a person, Lord God, that would be willing and obedient. Because then I'll eat the good of the land. You're not going to take anything from me. You're not going to steal from me. Lord God, you're going to do nothing but give, and I know that. Lord God, I don't want to be dumb enough to try to hold back anything. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you. I can just lay everything at the feet of Jesus today. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you. Lord God, Lord, I take the word today that were spoken, and they were spoken as much for me as for anybody in this place. They were spoken. And Lord God, I take those words, and Lord God, I'm going to use them as a measuring stick this week. I'm going to measure those words for the great value that they are. That, Lord God, that your words hold a higher value than in the words of anyone. And Lord God, that your words that were given, and Lord God, when you speak the word, even through as it's being preached, Lord God, when I hear the word, Lord God, I'm going to take it to myself, whether it's a rec read from the book, or Lord God, you have a minister say it, I'm going to take the word and its great value that it is. And I'm going to cherish it and hold it, Lord God, to the value, Lord God, so life is produced through my voice. Life is produced through my voice. Life is produced, Lord God, that healing flows like a river. Life is produced, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ will come back to the forefront of the church again. That Jesus Christ will stand again as the head of the church, and that His name will be above every name. Hallelujah. And the church will bow to that name and that name only. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father. Glory to God. Lord God, Lord, we want to give you our voice. We want our voice. We want your words, and we'll put, with diligence, we're going to put your word in our heart. With diligence, Lord God, we're going to attend to the word. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we're going to speak those words. We're going to say those words. Holy Spirit, you will do your job that Jesus said. You will take the things that belong to Jesus. You'll reveal them to us. You will give us revelation. As we look that word and we cherish it, Lord God, you're going to show us what it means, how to apply it and do it and bring it to pass in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're going to be carriers of the Word of God. Hallelujah. We're going to be the voices of Jesus Christ. We're going to stand on the mountain and shout. Hallelujah. We're the ones that are going to speak the Word, and men will see the glory of God and know that there's a God in heaven, because His people will rise up in the glory that you've called them to in this day and time. Hallelujah. Lord God, we will come into the place that you called us to. Hallelujah. Lord God, we are a house of glory. That's what we are. We're a house of glory. We're a house of glory. And Lord God, your glory will be revealed through this house. Hallelujah. These your vessels, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Bratko mana kiketisha, bembragoduska mama fefre de geshkeke, bar gala brute vef vringerak le comuna, befrenino kesken, then shalera kibile, brote femma kalakatishka mama kurete, emfradishka la la gate gishi shishi dia. My word is going forth, and my word brings glory. And I have spoken to you and said today and revealed to you my plans and purposes in you. Yes, and I've spoken because my desire is for glory. And you've stepped forward and said, here am I. So here am I, says the Lord. And I've reached forth my hand to give you glory. And that's just what this day is about. It's about me reaching forth my hand because you have reached your hand to me. I reach my hand out. And I reach my hand out, and there's a joining together, and that glory is designed to come. Yes. this, and I will not hold back. I will not hold back, for these are the days that glory must come forth, for much must be changed. There are nations to come forth in my glory. There are nations to be moved in this day and time. And I have a people. I'm not going to have a people. I have a people because I have you. And I will use you, and I will bring that glory forth, and men's eyes will see the glory of God, and many will be swept into the kingdom in this day and hour. Many will come forth, and then the final glory of my return. But yes, says the Lord, your place is now, and in this hour I've called you to it, and you've stepped forth, and I will show my glory in you. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Take those words, folks. Hallelujah. You uphold it. He said you will, so don't you have anything else you say about it. Don't have anything else that you talk about it. Hallelujah. Don't talk a bunch of negative stuff about it. Well, if I can just get straight. No, the Lord said He's going to use you. Start talking. You'll get straight if you start saying the right things. If you don't say the right things, you won't get straight. Start saying. See, God speaks for a purpose. He doesn't want Him just talking. It isn't important that I just say it. It's important you say it. Hallelujah. It becomes your voice. Are they the words of God or not? Well, you might sit down and say, I don't know if that's God or not. Well, listen in your spirit to find out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's called you. He's reached out His hand to you. You've reached, and so He's reached His hand to you. Hallelujah. He's not holding back. He said, I've reached to you. Glory to God. He's reached to you. Glory to God. We ain't trying to get it. We got it. Glory to God. He said He reached out to us. Hallelujah. I'm taking it. It's mine in the name of Jesus. I'm taking His hand. The glory's on me. Hallelujah. Well, I don't feel like the glory. I don't care what I feel. Hallelujah. You might get some feelings if you'd say the right stuff. Amen. Glory to God. Start speaking. Speak the truth. Hallelujah. Get it in you and say it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord. Lord, if there's anything else you want to do, we want to obey you. That's our desire. That's our great desire. Hallelujah. I thank you. God, are you good? What? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.